Welcome to Fairborn Full Gospel Tabernacle. We are located at 2528 National Road in Fairborn, Ohio. If you don't have a home, church, we would love for you to consider making your home with us. Our service times are as follows. Sunday school at 10 a.m. and Sunday morning worship at 11 a.m. Sunday night Bible study begins at 6 p.m. and Wednesday night prayer meeting starts at 6 p.m. Now it's time to enjoy a wonderful anointed message from Pastor Jimmy Haining.
If you brought your Bibles, turn with me, if you would, to Revelation chapter 2. Been preaching on the thought, God's getting ready to put out the fire. This will be part 2. A couple weeks ago, we hit part 1, and the week after that, the Holy Ghost took over the service, which is all right with me. So, good Lord willing, this morning we will conclude this thought. But in Revelation chapter 2, Jesus was addressing the church at Ephesus. And he says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Man, you may be seated. I just want to do a quick recap on part one. We talked in part one about the love of God, talked about how God's love trumps all other types of love. We gave multiple scriptures for that. And then after we gave all of the different scriptures concerning the love of God, and the reason why we laid that foundation consequently is so that we could better understand the warning that Jesus gave in the next verse. We also talked about 12 different attributes of God's love, and went into great detail about that with scripture. Number one, God's love, we said, was gentle. Number two, we said God's love is merciful. Number three, we said that God's love is faithful. Thank God for his faithfulness. Number four, we said that God's love is compassionate. And that's something that a lot of Christians need, is more compassion. Number five, we said that God's love is unfathomable. In other words, we can't begin to comprehend it. Number six, we talked about God's love is forgiving, and that's been spoken of quite a bit here in Sunday, the adult Sunday school class, and also as Brother Jeff was taking up testimony service. We talk a lot about forgiveness. Number seven, we talked about how God's love is full of grace. We couldn't be saved without the grace of God. Number eight, we talked about how God's love is always with us. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us, Brother Jeff, but he's always with us. Number nine, we talked about how God's love is eternal. It's never ending. It's forever. Can't say that about a lot of people's love. Number 10, we said that God's love is protective. He protects his children. Number 11, we said that God's love is a sacrificial love. And finally, number 12, that God's love is secure. It is a true foundation. In light of all of this concerning God's love, as I said, gives us reason to understand why Christ gave this next threat in verse 5. And that's where I want to pick up with part 2. Revelation chapter 2, just to recap, verse 5, he says, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. We see three things here that Jesus addresses in the very first part of this verse. He says, number one, to remember. He says, number two, to repent. And number three, to do the first work. So there's several things I want to try to unpack in this one verse of scripture here this morning with the help of the Lord. The first word I want to address is this word remember. In the Greek, the word remember is translated mene manuo. Mene manuo. And it has three different definitions concerning this one word remember. And here's what it means in the original language. To remember, and Jesus is using, he's telling them to remember from whence thou art fallen. This is what it means, number one, to call to mind, to call to remembrance, to bring back the memory. Number two, to think of and feel for that person that you betrayed, to feel their pain. Number three, it means to hold in your memory and keep it there. Yes, Christ wants us to remember. He wants the offender to remember. And I think it's astounding that this one little word, remember, means all of those things. I'm sorry. With Jesus, we don't get to just pretend that nothing ever happened. There's a reason why he wants us to remember. As we get into this, we'll discover the reasons why. So remember, he says, remember. Remember what? What are we to remember? Well, first thing we're to remember is where it happened. Where were we in a place we shouldn't have been when it happened? Number two, we're to remember when, the time that it happened. What time was it when it happened? The why, what was it that caused us to fall out of love with our Lord? And the how, in what way did we use, what way did we go about leaving the love of God for this other person, for this other place, or for this other thing, whatever it is? So until the betrayer is willing, Brother Jeff, to admit that they've done wrong, can be no forgiveness. So the next thing that Christ wants the betrayer to do is not only to remember, as what we just talked about here, but he wants us to feel, not us, but the betrayer, to feel the pain and the hurt that they caused the Lord. Brother Jeff was speaking. I got that in mind. Is why I'm getting tongue-tied. I was thinking on him, talking about how he was hurt when his wife left him and how that felt. And you know, a lot of things the devil will make go through your mind when something like that happens. I can only imagine. I never think God had that happen to me. But, you know, I like to try to put myself in someone else's shoes. And I did that the other day thinking about Brother Jeff. And I thought, you know, I could only imagine one of the things the devil would torment you with is the fact that they're with that other person. You know, and that would go through your mind and that would really torment you. And the devil knows how to torment us in bad ways. But there's many different levels, as Brother Jeff said, of betrayal. Many different ways people can betray people, not just with spouse, but friends. And Crystal talked about that a little bit with her friend that betrayed her. But the bottom line is, it is a hurtful, deep cutting wound that cuts to the quick. It's something my Uncle John, when his wife left him, I remember him describing it to me. He said, I feel like I just want to go somewhere and continually throw up. I feel so sick in my stomach. All I want to do is vomit. And I thought, man, that must be a horrible, horrible feeling to go through something like that. But the betrayer Christ wants them to remember the pain and the hurt they caused him. And finally, Jesus demands that the betrayer never forget what they've done. But some people might say, why would he want you to not forget? Well, there's a reason for that. And the reason being is this: he doesn't want you to repeat the same thing over again, because it is the equivalent of spiritual adultery against the Lord. You've heard me give the analogy before about where Paul was talking about coming out of the law and coming into the grace of God. And I gave the analogy of how that, going along with what Paul said about the husband with the wife with the dead husband versus the new husband. I said it would be the equivalent of a modern day wife who's married to another man because her first husband died. That Brother Jeff, she goes to the cemetery, gets her a shovel and digs him up and puts him in his favorite rocking chair and says, oh, I've got him back in the house now. That's the equivalent in God's eyes of what people do spiritually when they try to replace him with some other form of doctrine or some other person, some other place, or some other thing. So in light of all that, the next word I want us to look at is the word fall. And he says to remember. Remember what? From whence thou art fallen. Again, this one little word fallen has four definitions in the original language. In the original language, Greek, it is translated ekpipto, and it means, number one, to fall out of love with the Lord. That's first and foremost is what the word fallen there means in the original language, to fall out of love with the Lord. Number two, it means to fall away from him. To fall away from him. Number three, it means to fall from one's position that you've had in the Lord, whatever your calling is, to fall from that. And finally, number four, to fall powerless to the ground without any hope or promise of salvation. To fall powerless to the ground without any hope or promise of salvation. So Jesus is being very specific here. He wants the betrayer, as we said, to remember. He wants them to feel. He wants them to keep it in their mind how they fell out of love with him. But he also wants them to remember what it was that caused them to fall away from him. He wants them to realize just what they threw away. And by committing that act of betrayal, all of the, you know, you've heard it said, I'm sure, in the church before, that when a person backslides, Brother Jeff, all of those works from that time up to that point of time of backsliding are burned up. They start over. Maybe some of you didn't know that. But a person who backslides, Sister Darlene, all the things they did before for God are forgotten. They have chucked it out the window, Brother Eddie. Now they're starting all over again, fresh. I think that would be something that most Christians should keep in mind to keep them from falling. You know, because there's a great reward in heaven for all believers. But I couldn't imagine standing before God, Sister Wanda, one day, and I'm all excited thinking about some of the things I did in the past, and if I was a backslider, Brother Jeff, and only to have him look at me and say, I don't know what you're talking about. How terrible that would be to hear God say that. And we're all going to stand, as Christians, we're all going to stand before the Bema Seat, the great judgment seat of Christ, and we're going to give an account for our works. And there's going to be a lot of sad Christians on that day, Brother Jeff, when they stand before that great Bema Seat. Now, it has nothing to do with your salvation. The blood of Jesus Christ will get you into heaven. But once you get there, this is what most Christians don't think about. They say, well, if I could just get to heaven by the skin of my teeth, that'll be all right. No, it won't. Because you're talking about eternity with nothing. And you're looking at all your fellow brothers and sisters with all these great rewards that God's handing out. Can you imagine how you would feel to know you're going to spend your eternity, Brother Jeff, with nothing other than your salvation? You're with God, but you don't have a mansion. You don't have whatever it is, but the Bible says, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man. Now, that means your imagination, however big your imagination is, the things that God has prepared for them that love him and keep his commandments. But for those that don't keep his commandments and they backslide, all of those works are burned up. So it's a terrible consequence. He's wanting them to remember, because the warning for people that betray like this and draw back, he is warning them of the terrible consequence concerning their future eternity unless they repent. And I want you to notice that too. In verse 5, he starts off by saying repent, and at the end of the verse he says it again, unless you repent. He doubles down on that. He's letting the betrayer know what the secret is. We got to be willing to repent. Some people, Brother Dennis, have the hardest time with two words, saying two words. I'm sorry. Or another pair of two words, or three words. I was wrong. How many ever watched this show, this TV sitcom, Happy Days? Remember the Fonzie? Rich, I just want to say, I was and he'd do that two or three times and finally say, you don't have to say you're sorry. Okay, good, I won't. You know, but some people are like that. They have a problem saying, I'm sorry, or I was wrong. We got to be careful when we serve the Lord that we continue to keep what we've committed unto him against that day. Because if we don't, our future eternity is going to be in peril. Unless we repent, we're going to end up going to a place that was never made for man. Amen. Which brings us to the word repent itself, which is translated metaneao, metaneao. And it means to change one's mind for the better. You don't go in reverse. Change one's mind for the better. And number two, to heartily amend with an abhorrence the sins of one's past. So when you come to God and you repent, there's a nature change. You're no longer the same person that you used to be. As the Apostle Paul said, these things you used to do, but now that you've been washed, now that you've been cleansed, you no longer walk in those carnal things anymore. That's why we've got a church world, and yes, I said a church world today, that thinks it's normal and all right for people to shack up and not be married and get all of the government benefits and everything else, but that's not what the Word of God says. According to the Word of God, people who do that, that is what the Word of God refers to as a fornicator and an adulterer, of course, if they've been married before. But they're committing fornication when they do that. And yet, Brother Jason, because there's such an ignorance to the Word of God, such a lack of knowledge and understanding of God's Word, Brother Eddie, they deem it normal. Here's another thing you've heard me get on my soapbox about many times that they deem normal. Transvestites, gays, lesbians, homosexuals, all that's normal. We're supposed to embrace it. There are big mega churches right now that have homosexuals in their choir and part of their band, and even some of them get up behind their pulpits and preach and teach and minister. But the Word of God says all these type of people, if they don't repent from it and turn from it, are going to be in a lake of fire. Yeah, I'm old school, and a lot of people don't like it, but I'd have it no other way, Brother Eddie. You know why? Because God warned me as a minister, you're a watchman on the wall. And if you refuse to warn the sinner of his way and he dies in his sin, he will die in his sins. But guess what? His blood I will require at your hand, Jimmy Haining. Well, I don't want anybody's blood dripping from my finger, so that's why I preach the truth. That's why I say these things are abomination. And as a child of God, do we love the homosexual? Absolutely. Do we love the drunkard? Absolutely. Do we love the drug addict and the prostitute and those that are addicted to pornography? Absolutely. But we don't condone the sin. God loves all them more than we do. But he hates and he detests the sin that if they don't repent and turn from, Brother Dennis, it's going to send them straight to hell. God's not going to send them there. Their own obstinance is going to send them there. Think of it this way. I've always said, I want to listen to the man coming up the road. But there's people in this world today that if somebody was coming up the road and said, hey, don't go any further down there. If you go very much farther, you're going to fall into a venomous snake pit. But there's many people that will look at that and say, you know what, I don't care what you said. That's your opinion. I'm going to go down that road anyway. I want to see what it's all about. Here's another thing. How many has ever been on the highway and there have been a car accident? Now, number one, the first thing my heart does is I start praying, Lord, don't let anybody be hurt. All right, but after that, I get annoyed and aggravated, Brother Jeff, because guess what happens? Everybody wants to slow down to a crawl and get nosy and know what's going on over there. Has nothing to do with them, but they want to know what's going on with that car accident. I don't know about you, but I'm going to listen to the one coming up the road. And the one coming up the road's already been down that road, Brother Eddie, and he knows or she knows what's down that road, and they're going to tell me, hey, I want to spare you some hurt. I want to spare you some grief. Don't go down this way because there's nothing but bad down there. But again, like I said, so many today are so obstinate, and it is the obstinance, their own obstinance, unfortunately, it's going to send many to a lake of fire. I'm preaching this morning on God's getting ready to put out some fires. Now, having said that about repent, after repentance, he says to do the first works. Now, in part one, we talked about God's love and how it said you've left your first love and how that word first in the Greek is protos and how that second word love is agape, the love of God. Here we have two words, the first word being the same, protos, but now we have the word works, which is translated ergon, protos ergon, and here's what they mean together. Protos meaning, just as a recap from a couple weeks ago, protos means first and foremost in time, place, order, and importance. God's got to be numero uno, all right? Number two, ergon for works means the act, thing, or deed that someone undertakes to do the work of God for the work of the ministry. So putting those together, God's work, God's kingdom agenda has to be numero uno, first and foremost in time and order and importance. That's what he means when he says do the first works. The thing that you let down on, I've covered this before, the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. In other words, it can't be retracted in the original Greek. They're irrevocable is the word that's used in the Greek. But Brother Jeff, so many people, when they backslide and they come back to the Lord, I've seen it happen many times, they're no longer a singer. They're no longer a musician. They're a pew warmer. You know why? Because the devil perches up here on their shoulder and begins to condemn them and say, you can't do anything for God. What does the Bible say about that? There is, therefore, now, no condemnation to them that are what? In Christ Jesus. So it's a lie from the devil. But so many times, whatever their calling is, Brother Dennis, when they come back to God, they go, I'm worthless. I can no longer do this because the pastor down the road said I'm disqualified. I heard of an associate pastor one time. A brother had been taken in a fault. And the church pastor, senior pastor, the overseer of the organization was working with this young man, trying to restore him according to the word of God. And this one associate pastor, if I said his name, some of you would know who he is, said, well, maybe after 12 years, he can do something for God. Well, who is he? Who made him God? having said that, I believe there needs to be a time period. I believe at least a year that they sit under someone and they're accountable and they, you know, they got to go through a process. I get that. But for someone to say, you know, that person could die before 12 years, Brother Jeff, and never do anything for the Lord. And that just like the devil, you ain't no good. You can't do anything for God. Just sit there on the pew and warm it. Let somebody else do it. Now, that's not pleasing in the eyes of God at all. So he says, do your first works, that which you've let down. Finally, in light of all that, it brings us to this grave consequence, this threat, if you will, from Jesus Christ. The last part of that verse, he says, or else. How many's ever had somebody say that to you? Well, I'll raise both my hands. I had my dad say that to me more than once. Son, here's what I want you to do. And if you don't do it, there's going to be a penalty to pay. All right? That or else came into play many times. Do what I say or else. Well, you know what comes after that, JR. And I remember the sound quite well, a sound, thank God, that my girls will never know. Zing! And the next thing that followed, Brother Eddie, was a grooving dance that I got real good at. trying to get away from that belt. I, every time I think about it now, I can't help but think about Brother Francis, Sister Maximilian, how they got me good one time. They didn't even realize they did. I was still trying to listen and hear what they were saying because they had that real deep Kenyan accent. By the way, they've gotten a little bit more westernized, so it's easier to understand. But when they first got here, Brother Robert, it was tough for me to decipher what they were saying. And they were asking me something about their boys in Kenya, and all I heard was my boys, and they did wrong in the correction. Do you agree with that? Well, yeah, I agree with correction. But I didn't understand what all they were asking me. What they were asking me that I couldn't make out was, would it be okay if we have the officials or whatever it was in Kenya to give them a good caning? I was like, oh yeah, I think it's a good idea. And I had no idea what they were saying to me. And I found out later they had them boys caned and I felt so bad. I thought, I hope I never meet them boys. They're going to hate my guts. But the word of God says that the rod of correction will drive that rebellion far from a child. And I guess they got a good rod of correction, didn't they? But I remember that zing. I don't know, Brother Jeff, if you ever had that happen to you. But boy, I remember I got pretty good at that dance. And I tell you what, Brother Eddie, it was a different dance than the one you heard me talk about in Grassy Branch, Kentucky, when I made my way out of there away from them snakes. This was a completely, totally different dance. But anyway, he says, or else I will come to thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place. And he says it again, except thou repent. Here's how this last part of this verse that I just read to you would read in the original Greek language. Jesus says, or else I will come unto thee suddenly without delay or warning and will take away my light from thine eye. Except thou change thy mind for the better and heartily amend with an abhorrence the sins of your past. Well, that's deep, isn't it? But the part that really stood out to me, Brother Jeff, was where he said, I take away my light from your eye. Now, that's in the original language. When we go back to the King James translation, in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus comes right out in our language and tells us what that means. He says, the light of the body is the eye. Therefore, if thine eye be single, and remember that word single, and if you're like me and you like to mark in your Bible, circle the words, if thine eye be single, then the whole body shall be full of light. If your eye be single, the whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, then thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee, notice he said the light that is in thee, be darkness. Well, that's an oxymoron, isn't it? How great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, and yet we've got a church world full of people today trying to do it. We got people today, Brother Dennis, that are trying to hold on to God with their right hand and the world with their left and convincing themselves that it's okay. But you know what? God's not okay with it. We can be with it, till, as they say, till the cows come home, but God's never going to be okay with it. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold on to the one and despise or reject the other. But you cannot serve God and mammon. That word mammon simply means an extreme greed for material wealth. In other words, a love for money. Money itself isn't bad, but the love for money, the greed for money. That's what he means by the word mammon there. So let's look at this word single in the Greek. It is translated haplos, and it means whole and good, fulfilling one's office. So if we're single in Christ, we're whole in Christ, we're going about doing good like he did. And most importantly, we are fulfilling our calling that he's placed in our life. We're not hanging our harp in the willow tree somewhere. We're not digging a hole in the ground and burying our talent, but we're doing what God's called us to do. And then this phrase, he says, if therefore the light that is in thee be darkness. The phrase be darkness is translated skatos, and it means an ignorance respecting one's duties to God, as well as an accompanying of ungodliness and immorality, which will ultimately bring about one's eternal misery in hell. Thank God for the original language. Because if we just read be darkness, people can translate that any way they want to. But the word of God is very, very descriptive here. Ignorance respecting one's duties to God, as well as an accompanying of ungodliness and immorality that will ultimately damn one's soul to a burning, blazing lake of fire. I'm almost done. Don't fall asleep on me this morning. Isaiah 42, the prophet said, I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness. Again, if you mark your Bible, circle those words, in righteousness. And will hold thine hand and will keep thee and give thee for a covenant of the people. Here's three more words for you to circle. For a light to the Gentiles, to open blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from prison. And them that, here's another three words to circle, sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I will not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Going on over to 1 Corinthians in the New Testament, chapter 6, the Apostle Paul is addressing the Corinthian church. He says, what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and that you are not your own? For you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which both consequently belong to God. And again, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul continues. He says, know ye not that ye are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man defile the temple of God, and circle these next words, him shall God destroy. Him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. And in conclusion, I'm talking about God is getting ready to put out some fires. Yeah, Brother Jamie, but what about the love of God and the mercies of God are renewed every day? Absolutely, but what about the scripture that says, my spirit will not always strive with man? See, you got to remember, God sees the heart. We see the outward. Brother Eddie, I can watch someone walk into this tabernacle and say, man, that person looks holy. They got it together. But on the inside, they can be the worst devil you ever seen. Only God knows that. And there'll come a time for some people, Brother Mike, when God's going to put the fire out. He's tired of it. Some people don't even have a fire. In fact, I wouldn't even call it a flicker. How many's ever seen a candle that can't make up its mind if it wants to burn or go out? That's how some Christians are. They don't know if they want to serve God or serve the devil. But in Hebrews chapter 10, in conclusion, the writer said, and this is important, cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath, here it is, great recompense of reward. Don't throw it away. And people are throwing it away, Brother Creed. I'm talking about God is getting ready to put out some fires.
We hope you've been blessed by today's message by Pastor Jimmy Haney and Fairborn Full Gospel Tabernacle. Pastor Jimmy and the congregation would like to invite you to visit with them in service at 2528 National Road in Fairborn, Ohio. We will see you again right here next week.
Here's what changed me. I'm not what I used to be. I'm saved by grace. Here's what changed me. That old man I used to be is gone away. I'm here to say, His love changed.